Welcome to the Create Your Shape podcast. I'm Jenny, the nutritionist, and I'll be teaching you the strategy, structure, and science to build muscle and decrease body fat, specifically for ladies who work out. Welcome back to the Create Your Shape podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, Jen Ryan. Welcome to the show, Jen Ryan.
Thank you.
All right. So I have to tell you guys, Jen is the reason Jenny the Nutritionist exists. So I met Jen back in when I lived in San Diego and I went to CrossFit PB. Jen, I met her through there, and she, of course, has gone on to become a, what is it, 4 or 5 time CrossFit athlete, which we'll get into all of your story. But you were a nutrition coach, and this was back when I was in the corporate finance world and I was doing CrossFit. I've dabbled in some like little competitions and I was doing a bikini show. And I remember you got a huge influx of clients, and your background isn't in the like business world. So you were like, Jenny, I need your help. Like, come help me. You know enough about nutrition, but you know about like business. And so I remember coming to help you and just helping like getting organized with processes and like kind of behind the scenes stuff. But obviously I was into nutrition too, and started, you know, learning more and more from you, and not only for myself, but see how you work with clients and seeing how you were helping them. And it definitely put me in a position to be like, oh, wait, like I love this. And I wasn't loving my, you know, corporate world. And I remember thinking, though, of like, well, I couldn't do this. Like, Jen's an elite athlete and it makes sense. Like, people would want to learn from her. I couldn't do this. And I remember, you might not remember this, but I remember it because it really like catapulted into the whole thing. You said, like, no, Jenny, as long as you are like one step ahead of them, like people want to learn from you. And you said, you don't need to be an elite athlete. You don't need to be like in your head having like this perfect body. Like people can learn from you. And you even said like, some people might even prefer to learn from you than me. And I was like, wait, what? And that gave me the idea that, oh, wait, I can do this. I can become a coach, which I don't know if I ever told you that. So that's how really you gave me like the kind of the kick to be like, oh, wait, this is possible for me. Which then, of course, I know you taught me, you've mentored me for years now and taught me so much and gave me kind of pathways to like, okay, you know, get this license, get this certification, you know, learn this, learn that. And I know we talk often, and you've even helped me now where I get stumped with a client or something. And so anyway, all that to say, what, first of all, thank you, but two, to give the audience kind of an understanding of the role you've played with my company. And then let's talk about you though. Can you introduce yourself and who you are? Where do you live? What do you do? And then we'll get into your story.
Oh yeah, thank you. That was a nice introduction. And before even going a whole lot further, I think we're going to come back to this again, probably down the road as we're speaking, but it just all comes down to kind of being confident in the basics. And what you were concerned about is you weren't confident in, whoa, like, how do I go to here? And that's what I was saying to you, is that so many people are here. And if you're just right here, and if you have a way and a reason, and you can back up what you're doing and telling them to do, then you are the expert, or, and you are the person that they want to learn from. So always bringing it back to the basics of, you got to be able to start here, and that's okay to start here so that you can get, you know, farther along to where you are now, you know?
Yeah.
We all have to start there. Right. And we all have to talk to a lot of our clients, and just people in general about that whole situation. So
yeah, that's a really good point. And if you can't, you know, see her, she's, when she's saying here, she's bringing her hands down, being like, you got to start at the foundation, right, to be able to build off of that, where I was expecting to be all the way at the top and know everything and all of that. So yeah, it's good advice for, I think, for everybody. So tell us about who you are and what you do, where you live and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I live here in San Diego, California. I moved here in December of 2012 from South Carolina. It's not where I'm originally from, Iowa, but moved there for school. I went to nursing school, became a nurse, wanted to do something in the health field because I had always been extremely interested in health and fitness, and just that entire world was so fascinating to me. And, you know, way back in my 20s, so I'm 44 now. So way back when, back at the beginning of time, there wasn't as many opportunities as there are now to really propel yourself or to be some sort of an entrepreneur in the, you know, training space, in the nutrition space. And so that wasn't really something I knew a whole lot of about how to propel myself in a career with that, unless I wanted to go on to be a dietitian or something like that. And so that was my stepping stone, was I said, you know what? Nursing is in the health field. You know, it's a great career. I will have great financial stability, and it's again, it's a stepping stone. So, I became a nurse. I was actually an ER nurse for 13 and a half years. I was still a nurse when I moved out here to San Diego, started coaching at CrossFit Pacific Beach. That's where I met Jenny. So I was coaching classes, doing some personal training. And that's when I also became really interested in the nutrition side of things. So I started coaching a few of my personal training clients in their nutrition as well, and then got for myself a nutritionist, a sports nutritionist, someone who really specialized in working with athletes to reach optimal body composition for and performance, right? And so I started to learn some of the ins and outs of these kind of things, and it was so incredibly interesting to me. So I kind of went into it myself. I really started doing a lot more research. I got my licensure, and it started out slow, but then just kind of exploded. I was also an athlete at the time, a CrossFit athlete, if you will. I competed in, you know, the regionals and numerous other competitions. And through some of that, I met a few higher level CrossFit athletes, and, you know, they learned about me just through training with them and really liked my approach. And I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. And I have for a really long time. So I think when athletes see that, knowing that I'm a bit older than them and knowing that I've got my ducks in order and what I'm talking about seems to be working well, they want to learn more about it. So I was very blessed to then get connected with many of these people who, you know, really put it out there to the world, to other people, my approach, right? Which with CrossFit was not just focusing on body composition, but more so focusing on performance. And it was that time in the world of CrossFit when you had a lot of people starting to really preach that. And luckily, like I said, the coach that I started working with in late 2014, early 2015, she had already been, you know, instilling that in me before it started to become a big thing. And so I really had learned that. And for me, it helped a lot because I have a disordered eating background that I battled, you know, from a really young age as an early teenager. And learning more about my nutrition and actually focusing on being able to use it for performance, and that just allowed the body composition changes to come along with it, was really helpful. And again, these other athletes could see that I not only talk the talk, I walk the walk, and how a lot of that, you know, helped me. And so my business grew from there just by, you know, showing people that I can help them. I can help you perform better, feel better, and look better. And I think that's been the basis of my nutrition coaching, even going further over the years into the world of integrative and functional wellness, you know, looking into lab work. I do all that for myself too. You know, again, I don't just talk about it. I also do it for myself. So yeah,
I can attest to all of that. She 100% walks the walk. And just to kind of give the audience an idea of what you've accomplished in what I've seen you do. So you were coaching at CrossFit PB, and you were definitely, you know, one of the best there and really good. and you had a lot of muscle, the whole thing. But then I remember, and this was in, I think, your late 30s, but then from there, you decided like, no, I'm going to be competitive. I'm going to take this to the next level. You probably, that's probably also when you got more into nutrition and saw how that could really like amplify what you're capable of. And then at that time, we kind of started moving. I think that's when we started moving away, or maybe even before that. And you changed gyms and all that. And then since then, your results and your like what you've been able to do, not only like performance wise, but also your physique, like you're just getting better and better each year. And like you said, like you're now 44, and every year Erin and I are like, there's Jen Ryan again. She's still hitting PRs. She's still, you know, she's got so much more muscle this year than last year. Like, so like you're improving so much every year. And it's definitely because you are walking the walk, but also like, can you share some of the things that you've accomplished? I know you've been to the games and competed at a high level multiple times. And I feel like not only did you go to the games, but you've been on teams with some like the best in the country. So can you just share and really brag? Because I feel like it is like, it's so badass what you've accomplished. Can you just share some of those things?
Yeah. So I've qualified for the CrossFit Games 6, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. I've qualified 7 times, got to compete 6 times because 2020, they didn't have a Masters game. So, yes. And then, in 3 of those years, I competed on a team with CrossFit Invictus. And 3 of those years, I competed as a Masters individual. And the last 2 years that I competed in the 40 to 44 division, I took 2nd and 3rd. So that was nice to stand on the podium at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah, so badass.
That's the CrossFit accomplishments. Yeah.
And can we also just share that she's competing on teams, like she's being asked to compete on teams where the rest of the athletes are like 22, 26, like, and you're just in there like practicing it with them, which when I say practice, if you guys aren't familiar with like CrossFit, this is a career. Like you're at the gym 6 hours a day, like morning session, night session, like this is like a professional athlete career. So I think this kind of goes into the next part of like, I really want to talk about like as a woman athlete, and as we call middle age, aging, whatever, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s. Obviously you've been able to just get better with time, where I think most people think like, oh, I'm just getting older. You know, I was an athlete back in the day, or they have all these like misconceptions. And what do you think? Like, I know like what it might be in nutrition, training, blood work, or combination of it all. What do you think has helped you be able to progress, and what you see helps your clients still be able to progress, even as females who are, I put in quotations, aging, because it sounds like
middle age.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. You know, some big things that I do firmly believe have been key are that I really focus on eating enough. And that's just so incredibly important. I'm not saying every single person is going to be able to handle the amount of calories that I can handle or the amount of carbohydrates. Everyone is very different. People go through different stages in life. We have different genetics. And that even refers to the way we metabolize estrogen and the way we metabolize everything. So I do recognize that I have a very different hormonal, I always have had a very different hormonal, my hormones are a little different than say someone else's, right? Maybe someone has, you know, maybe their testosterone is much higher, their androgen dominant, maybe estrogen dominant, you know? And so that is going to change things in the way that, you know, people may look, you know, but that doesn't have to be detrimental. You know, mm-hmm. I think looking at my clients and looking at myself and starting to understand patterns in people's hormones and where they're at in life with it and what is affecting those things has really helped me help myself And it's allowed me to help others, not only to become their best selves, but also to understand things a little more. A lot of this isn't being explained to people. Mm-hmm. And they just don't understand, well, why can I not look like that person? Or why do I look the way I do? Or why do I find this challenging? For example, for me, I believe, you know, I didn't start getting a lot of lab work done until my late 30s, which is a bummer, right? But again, a lot of this was not around, you know, hey, let's start getting some baselines here. You know, let's start taking a deeper look. A lot of this wasn't really around so much in my earlier years, right? Even in my early 30s. And so I can still look back and understand the way my body looked and say, oh, okay, you know what? I probably was always a little bit of a lower estrogen female. And I realize and understand this because I'm not someone who ever packed on pounds in, you know, I'd never had the big old booty or the big thighs or the hips, right? I didn't have that, that feminine, like, look, I didn't have that female, like, big, you know, booty and thighs, right? Or breasts, right? It just wasn't something that happened for me. I always held a lot of my body fat in my stomach, even in my teens. And you know, a lot of that is genetics. It doesn't mean poor health. It doesn't mean I got the, you know, the raw end of the deal. It just means a little bit something different. Now I'm also someone who's, and I don't have any cellulite. I have zero cellulite as a 44-year-old woman. I'm not saying that to brag or to put anyone down. I'm saying we are all different. Mm-hmm. I remember in my 20s when I was in college and seeing women wearing very short shorts, they were healthy looking. They were not overweight, not over fat, but I would see that they had some cellulite. Now, when I look back, now knowing what I do, I realize, oh, okay, this has a lot to do with someone's hormonal makeup, right? And then the way that it's expressed in their body. And it's so incredibly interesting to me just to start thinking about some of that stuff. Because now when I look back on all of those things over the years and I start to put it together about myself and about some other people, I can now use it in women who are middle-aged and for women who are younger. So that's what helps me allow people to continue being successful, because we're taking a look at it from a physiology standpoint. You know, I don't have to sit there and say, well, who do you want to look like? Or how do you want to look? I can explain to someone, well, this might be why you are shaped the way you are. Here's mm-hmm. how we can go about getting you to an optimal, like, performance standpoint, body composition standpoint, health standpoint. What are your goals? Here's what we can work with, you know? And I think that's really important to understand that we are all different. And knowing what we know, what you know now, Jenny, from doing all the research you have and learning and what I have, it's very powerful. And if we can get that out there to other women, I think we can help people be successful, because you can't go against your genetics. There's a lot of things you can do to alter that, mm-hmm. but you still have to kind of work with it, you know?
And so the first step when you work with somebody, and I know you get blood work done, but is that the kind of the first step that you take to kind of assess? Obviously, like, we both know that just by, like, what they submit in their application and in the words they use and the tone they use in their photos that they submit, we can now kind of predict, like, oh, I bet you their hormones look like this, this, and this, which is kind of cool. But obviously then we can get even more detailed and deeper with the blood work. So where is that what you use to first initially take a deep dive, or what's kind of the first step to look into those hormones more?
Yeah, usually the first step is having them fill out my women's health questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And when they're answering yes to some of these questions, I'm kind of putting that along, correlating that with what that could be telling me about their hormones. So there's that piece of it. The next one is just chatting with them, you know, tell me about your menstrual cycle. Tell me about your body. You know, because a lot of times that's why they come to me, is they want to make changes. So tell me, you know, what do you see and what has been changing, especially over the years of, especially if they come to me in middle age, what have you noticed? You know, and then I start asking them about, of course, energy levels, because that can be very telling too. So I really will start to ask questions first. I want to hear symptoms first, before I just base something completely off of labs. Now, a lot of people will say, well, the labs don't lie. So, you know, I want to see those first and not be like hindered by what the patient might be emotionally telling me. However, I will also say that in the field of nursing, you know, in the ER, someone's usually connected to a monitor, right? And it's got the heart rate. It's got the blood pressure that runs intermittently. It's got your O2 saturation. It's got your respiratory rate. Okay. Your heart rhythm, you know, if you're hooked up to the monitors. And oftentimes when we're sitting out there, something might go wrong. One of them might come unattached. There might be something weird happening. And so I was always taught, don't cry wolf. You know, if you start seeing something on the monitor, go check the patient, assess what's actually going on with the situation. You know, oftentimes, sometimes it's just that the pad came loose or something, right? Someone moved around. And so their heart rate spiked, any of these things. And so while labs are a little different, right, it's kind of like, well, there aren't really a lot of other variables, but what I like to do is correlate them. Yeah. So if they're telling me a lot of things and I'm seeing patterns and we need to get to the bottom of it, like why keep guessing? I will recommend getting that test, those labs done. Because, you know, it can also create buy-in. So,
yeah,
you know, especially if you have to kind of say, look, this is going to take some lifestyle changes. This is going to take some changes for you and for your family. And sometimes it's really hard to get somebody to buy into that. So if I think that a little more needs to be looked at, then I will say, why don't we get some labs done? Has your physician run any of these particular labs? Sometimes, depending on, you know, who they are, they may have some of those labs already done, but it's rarely a complete picture of what I want to look at. You know, we're only seeing a few things. And when I want to look at the entire body internally, you know, you need a little bit more. So yeah, so labs are kind of my second or third step. I'm talking a lot of times about, you know, their symptoms, a lot of times GI issues, right? So I'm asking, using questionnaires first, assessing the situation, and then determining, would lab work help my approach?
And do you find that I know we talked about genetics, right? That there is that component. I tend to find that there's genetics will influence kind of like their baseline, but then I find that they are even way off of their baseline for all of these different reasons, like especially if you're an athlete and you're high stress and you're go-getter and then your career and family and all this stuff, that it may even skew their hormones even more. Do you find that a lot of people that it's just, oh, it's just their genetics and we'll try to optimize your genetics? Or do you find that it's like, yeah, there's a baseline of your genetics, but then all these lifestyle factors have kind of scooted it even further. And there's so much opportunity for improvement with hormones and then therefore improvements with symptoms and physique and performance and all of that. What do you find?
Oh yeah. I do agree with that for sure. I mean, you can tell sometimes by looking at someone, right? I see where this genetic makeup is. I see what's going on here. And then you have to be someone who I think you have experience assessing people. I don't want to use the term judging, but you know, I've been taught to assess without judgment for an extremely long time, whether that was in the field of nursing or as a coach and a trainer in the gym with someone's Olympic lifting or gymnastics. And then also in regards to their physique, you know? So yeah, you can kind of get someone's genetic build and makeup through just taking a look at them and being able to sort of visualize, well, okay, here's what I see in your genetics kind of under there. And now what part of that is just, it's all being hindered by lifestyle, nutrition, you know, lack of activity, or the particular type of activity someone's doing, you know? I mean, to be honest, like my physique has only changed, you know, I'm still a petite, small woman, right? But in my 20s, when I was running all the time, and early 30s, you know, at the beginning of CrossFit, I was really just doing a ton of cardio and maybe some light weights. And the thing is, I was still smaller. My arms were shapely. And so that was my genetic makeup. That was my genetic build, right? And as I then changed my training and nutrition approach, my genetics didn't change. My body just changed in regards to how I was treating it, mm-hmm. In a good way, right? Physique wise. So, you know, I can look back and still say, oh, there's those small little legs, and there's, you know, the little flat booty, and, oh, there's the heavier midsection. Oh, there's the leaner arms and shoulders. Right. But, it was a different version of what I see now. And yeah. So it's kind of a similar thing when you take a look at someone else, you know, everybody's going to have that genetic build. You know, some people you can just tell, like, you call them big boned, right? Like, hey, yeah, okay. But what I see is we need to improve your nutrition. Probably need to, you know, give them a little more protein. We'll probably need to get them doing some weightlifting and get them moving around. And then you start to see that big boned build. You start to see it lean down a little, you know, because you're going to see a little bit more muscle mass. You're going to see them lose some body fat. And that's not changing their genetics. That's just working along with what their genetics are. They're not ever going to be the 5'2", 130 pound petite female. If you're already 5'6", 5'7", and you just naturally have like curves and you carry something, you know?
Yeah. So what do you typically see for, let's say, for your middle-aged females who are athletes, and we can just define athletes as maybe someone who competes recreational, but maybe still has a full-time job and they're working out, you know, once a day. What do you typically see for their, as, I don't know, maybe their hormones, and then things that they can do to optimize their hormones to improve, you know, performance. But of course, many people, even if their main thing is performance, they still want to improve physique, I find too. So yeah. What do you typically see for like that person? Do you have any like specific examples, or maybe even some like case studies to help people like wrap their heads around of like, okay, but what is, I get it in theory, but what does it actually mean in practice?
You mean like looking at their, what do I see happening on their labs and from a hormonal profile?
Like, yeah, maybe like something that's common or typical that you see for that person who is a, you know, working out really hard, they're training for, whether maybe it's local CrossFit competitions, or it's half marathons, or jiu-jitsu meets, or, you know, weightlifting, or things like that. But still have full-time careers and other things going on in their life, and they come to you and they want to improve performance in physique. What are common things you see related to hormones that you're like, oh, okay, I see this, and then here's how we're going to optimize it?
Yeah. So in regards to what I will end up seeing on their labs, I definitely see, you know, testosterone's plummeted. I'm going to see progesterone is very, very low, especially in comparison to estrogen. Sometimes estrogen is pretty low too, depending on how stressed out they've been for a long time and how much they're running themselves down. I'm going to see the thyroid just barely hanging on, but a lot of middle-aged women have a suboptimal thyroid, or they've got subclinical hypothyroidism going on. Mm-hmm. for a few different reasons, obviously. Those are the main ones. And then I'm also seeing really high cholesterol. Believe it or not, a lot of these high achieving people, people who train really hard, the cholesterol, total cholesterol is sky high. Those are the big ones that I'm seeing. I'm also tending to see in middle-aged women where MCV, mean corpuscular volume, is high, almost like clinically anemic. And so that will signify that a lot of women are deficient in B12. And that plays a huge role when people start telling me, wow, I'm really tired all the time, or I feel like I just don't have that extra go in a workout. Well, B12, you know, that is utilized by the cells by, it helps us oxygenate the cells, right? That's in our hemoglobin. And so we need that. And that is what I tend to see very often, is that the MCV is very high. And so I know, hey, that's why you're feeling low energy. That's why you're having some troubles, you know? So those are the main ones that I will see.
And what kind of, before we get into, I should have asked this too, what kind of symptoms, I mean, you just named one, like the fatigue, are there any other common symptoms that are associated with that? And then also the, any other causes that are, you know, create this outcome?
Yeah. A lot of the symptoms, of course, are, fatigue, you know, waking up fatigued, or that midday fatigue, really a lot of that, brain fog. So a lot less mental clarity, low libido, big time for a lot of people. The inability to lose body fat or lose overall weight. They'll start noticing a little more of that weight gain is around the midsection. That's a big part of it. Sleep sometimes can be very hindered in a lot of people. So those are some of the big ones. I also hear, I'm consumed by stress. Stress takes over my life. I have a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's a question on my women's health questionnaire. It says, you know, I'm consumed by stress. I'm overwhelmed by stress constantly. And you wouldn't believe, you know, how many people circle that.
Yeah. I also see, which I don't know if you do, I also see a lot of anxiety and depression. And they've been, you know, treated for that. I put in quotes, but really someone's like, hey, well, here's a pill for that. But I probably 25%, and I work with high achieving ladies like you do. And probably 25% of them, I see that. And then of course we look in further and know why, but I see that too. But anyway, go on. This is a good list.
Yeah. That's a big list. And that anxiety, depression, you know, that could be linked with your like low progesterone, right? Because that controls GABA, and GABA is really important for our calming, relaxation, decreasing anxiety, you know, that kind of thing. So, those are the main symptoms. In regards to performance, you know, lack of recovery and, you know, inability to get stronger, now, those are symptoms. Here are some of the causes. And, you know, the causes for a lot of the symptoms, this is where I dig really deep into people's lifestyles, and I will call some people out on their BS.
Yes, right? Let's hear it.
A lot of people are like, no, I'm doing it all right. It's my hormones. Really? Because it's my hormones too. And look at me. I'm just saying, right? Like, you and I have talked about this. My hormones have been in the gutter for so long. They're postmenopausal numbers. I kid you not. I kid you not. And I cannot take anything because I've been a tested athlete for so long. Mm-hmm. And yet here I am.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that's not to say anything, but we have to be honest with ourselves. A lot of it has to do with your lifestyle, your stress, and what you have done up until the point that you're at to where your hormones go crazy.
Yeah.
Women will always say, I do everything right. Okay. How much have you been sleeping for like the last 10 years? Have you been dieting at all in the last 10 years? How much protein have you eaten every single day in the last 10 years? How often do you weight train in the last 10 years, right? I'm not talking about like intermittent stuff. I'm not talking about every other day, once a month. I'm talking about, this is really important to understand that here are the symptoms you have. Here are the labs that we see. Okay, it's correlated. But let's look at the causes and let's look at the real causes, okay? Because the real causes aren't that you just need more levothyroxine or for me to just toss too much testosterone into your body, right? Like those aren't the real causes here. Those aren't the real causes, friends, ladies. Okay. Some of the real causes here are, number one, cumulative stress. It's huge. And it's such a general statement. It's thrown out there so much. But let's talk about those stressors. Exercise is a stressor, right? We know that. And so oftentimes I will see women who are, if they're training really hard and they are active, so they're trying to do the right things. Oftentimes they're not eating enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you've got one stressor here. You've got, I'm training hard, Jen. I'm working out really hard. Okay. But I'm probably only logging in like 1600 to 1900 calories. Some are even eating 2,000, 2,200 calories. Okay. But that might still be a deficit for you. Okay. Yeah. So you got that. So those are your two of your causes. And those can be seen as stressors by the body. And then you've got maybe poor sleep, right? Maybe somebody's a parent and that is really hard. That's so challenging to change, you know? So then you've got that on top of it, right? Intermittent sleep, less sleep, you know, staying up past when the kids go to bed. So you're up till 11 or 12 at night to try to get some alone time or some work done, but then you're back up at like 5 or 6 AM. Again, just another stressor on the body, right? So those are some causes, major causes. And that alone is just, you know, it's so important to take a look at why, like, where is someone's stress bucket? And then the next one is, work's running you ragged, you know, somebody's working, you know, overtime numerous times a week, or, you know, boss is stressful, or the company's just, you know, throwing a lot at you. So now you've got another cause. That's four. And really I would just put a lot of these as stress and, stress on the body, you know, or here's another one, you know, causes you eat crummy, or, you know, even if you think you eat good, but all of a sudden you're eating out a lot. So, you know, you may not be in a deficit or under eating, but maybe you're undernourished. So you're not getting those vitamins and minerals that you need. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one, because the liver needs all of these vitamins and minerals. It needs amino acids, the thyroid, the adrenals, even the gut, you know, our sex hormones, they need all of these vitamins and minerals and amino acids. So those are the big causes. And it's challenging because I think a lot of women are starting to go into an earlier perimenopause/menopause, into an earlier perimenopausal state. And, you know, I think society does it to them, right? I think we end up doing it to ourselves because of all of these things I'm talking about. And the challenge is, you know, you want to feel better. These women, they want to feel better, men too. But they go to a physician and they'll run labs. And they'll
some
see
labs.
Some labs. They'll run some labs. Exactly. Yeah. Well, your testosterone's low. Well, yeah, I mean, of course it is. You're late 30s, 40s, 50s. Of course it's low, right? But you know, and then looking at their DHEA, well, of course it's not what it was when they were in their 20s or 30s, you know, well, your thyroid is suboptimal. Your TSH is really high. So they slap people with some levothyroxine. They slap them with God knows how much testosterone, mm-hmm. and then, you know, and they slap them with an estrogen patch, slap them with some DHEA. And tell them to eat healthy and exercise. Do you ever hear that too? Is that
oh my gosh.
Typical, that everybody raise your hand. If that is the typical, middle-aged woman, that's what you get from your doctor,
Yep. And for those who don't know, the first one you mentioned is just thyroid medication, right? Medication, right?
Thyroid something. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They put on this medication, this drug patch, and then, exercise and eat healthy. And then send you on your way without ever really.
And if your cholesterol is high, they're going to tell you to stop eating eggs and meat and to work out more and come back in 3 months for a retest. That's what they're going to do.
Yep.
Otherwise they'll put you on a statin if you test again, it's high, right? They're not going to address, hey, go take a 40-minute walk each day, or, hey, how's your stress level? So that's your typical middle-aged profile right there. If they've gone to a physician for these things. Now I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm also not saying that should be the only option. So here's the next step that you and I think take a look at. And that is, all right, we're going to call you out on your lifestyle, on your nutrition, on your training, on your stress, your sleep. Okay. What can we control? Because if you're a mom of 2 to 4 kids, you work full time, there is just some things we are not going to change in your life right now. Okay. But what we can change is, okay, how do we improve your nutrition? How do we make sure that you are digesting and absorbing enough nutrients and the proper nutrients? How are we taking a look at your exercise? If you're someone who's working out 6 days a week, why don't we bring that to 4 to 5 and then go for a nice long walk on the other days? Because walking is actually shown to help reduce, cortisol, but you're just using fat as the fuel source, So that is the one form of exercise that actually doesn't stress you out. So those are the big things to start looking at with all of your hormones. Sorry, my dogs are right below me. They're like wrestling right below me.
I can hear them growling a little. It's fine. It's good.
They always get me. Those are the first things I'm going to start taking a look at. I'm not going to tell them to go against their physician. I'm going to say, hey, how do you feel about being on all of these things? And a lot of time people are like, well, I don't look the way I want to. Mm-hmm. And maybe I feel a little better, but I don't feel the way I want to yet. But gosh, I'm still having a hard time changing my physique, and so that's when I'll start saying, yeah, that's why we got to take a look at your training and your lifestyle and your nutrition first, before we just start slapping these medications on it.
Yes. Yes, you are just like preaching to the choir. And I love the way you explain it to help all these people like wrap their heads around it. Because a lot of times too, they come to me and they're like, well, my cholesterol is high. It's just, it's all, everyone in my family says it just is the way it is. And then when we actually look at lifestyle factors and change lifestyle factors, all of a sudden their cholesterol is within range and good now. And they're like, wow, I didn't know all this was possible just from these lifestyle factors. So I feel like so many people think that it won't do anything unless it's like a medication or a serious drug, or it just is what it is. But that's not the case. There's so much like you can control. And then going back to like eating enough, I can't emphasize this enough, which again, we're told for, all of our life, like eat less, eat less, eat less, when it's now a cause of all of these symptoms and all of these problems. And for 99% of my ladies, it's the first thing I have to do is help them eat enough and really explain it to them, so they're on board. And I feel like this episode will be really helpful for that to then support the rest of their hormonal profile. Do you find that explaining it to them, showing the symptoms correlated with labs and correlated with everything that and educating them really helps to get them on board with these lifestyle changes? Or do you have a certain approach that you use for that?
Yeah, I think trying to help them understand what the actual culprit is, not just aging. It's not just aging. Yes, that does happen. but trying to help them understand, well, even if you're taking some of these things, you can still help yourself. You can still improve, you know, by following some of these lifestyle changes, and then just talking with them about how these things can help people, right? In regards to improving testosterone, it's like, well, you know, here's when we produce the most testosterone. It's when we sleep. So if you're barely sleeping, that's an issue. We also produce it when we're doing like lifting weights or high intensity, you know, sprint like type exercises, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing either of those things optimally, well, you're not really helping your testosterone out, you know? Yeah. And then if you're stressed out all the time, under eating, you know, you're also not helping that out. So nice way to try to explain it to them scientifically, you know, and just saying like, yes, hey, this has been shown, this has been proven. Here's when you do secrete, you know, the most testosterone, especially for men, right? That's a big one. And so that's really important to try to make that lifestyle correlation, especially trying to get women to lift weights if they know that that can actually be beneficial for their hormones, right? Yeah, so just trying to make some of those correlations, eating more. How does that help? Well, especially because a lot of women do get a little bit afraid of carbohydrates, I try to let them know that the thyroid can actually be very, it responds well to carbohydrates. Now, I'm not saying go out there and eat all these like gluten-filled or like all these like high carb, high fat, calorically dense, you know, carbohydrate foods. But if someone's been under eating for a while and they have a suboptimal thyroid, what are some of the things that we can do? And one of those things is to start adding in maybe a higher carb day where you're getting in some carbohydrate sources that actually provide you with nutrients too, you know? So that's a really big one. And when they start to see that and hear that, they start to make that correlation and they're way more apt to be on board with it.
Yes, this is so good. I love the explanation. And then also we have specific takeaways too. So if you're listening, it's like, okay, yeah, I need to sleep more. Okay, yeah, I need to emphasize my strength training if I'm not already strength training. And then, yeah, I do need to have carbs. I need to reduce stress in areas that I can reduce stress in. And so all of these takeaways are so good. What are some like results that you see from implementing these changes? Because I know we know them, but it'll really help the audience to be like, okay, when I do these things, I can expect X. Like I know a lot of times I see ladies who, because of this, are able to get off these medications, which was causing other side effects, right, that they didn't want to. So that's one thing I see. Is there other things that you see as well?
Yeah. Well, just from the whole training and eating appropriately, like standpoint, it helps people so much because when women come to me and they're, you know, they're put on testosterone and estrogen, they're put on all these things, you know, thyroid medication, but they're still not really able to change their bodies. What I've been able to help them do is get them to eat more. If they're eating more protein, first of all, then they're not having all these crazy cravings. Mm-hmm. So they're eating enough protein and then they start lifting some weights. They start to see these cool changes where they're like, oh, I stand up straighter now. Or, oh, somebody told me I looked smaller, you know, but even if they haven't dropped a ton of weight on the scale, they're getting these compliments from people because they're making these changes, because they are actually probably putting on a little bit of muscle mass. And lo and behold, people think you can't do it, you know, after the age of 40, but you can. Mm-hmm. You just have to do the right things, you know? And it doesn't mean that you have to be this dedicated, you know, athlete like myself, right? You don't have to dedicate your life to being an athlete.
Yeah.
You just have to be a little bit more cognizant and diligent with some of these things like protein intake, eating enough, and then training it with regards to like, how is it in alignment, you know, with how you want to look. And then when I see people start doing that, they start changing and it's really, really cool to see, you know, clothes start fitting differently. Like, oh, I had even a woman, you know, recently, two women actually recently who were like, well, I'm actually not going to go buy new clothes again quite yet because I've already had to do that twice. And I just literally can't keep affording this. So I'm just going to hang on to what I have for right now. It's going to be a little baggy, but I'm going to give it another like 2 months before I go buy more clothes. Right. And so here I am having to apologize that they have to like get a whole new wardrobe, and but they're ecstatic about it, you know, because they're finally able to start looking and feeling better. And that's what people really want, you know?
Yes. And hitting PRs in the gym, I see so many ladies that are like, oh, yeah, I thought I needed to like change everything about my training program, or I thought like, oh, I'm just done getting stronger because, you know, I'm getting older. And now they've got like gas in the tank for their training. And they're like, I'm hitting PRs. And it's so much fun again to have that push and like progression in the gym. So I see that a lot too.
I have one woman, she's in her early 30s. She's been with me for a year and a half. We have consistently kept her, like added more food. We've not purposefully dieted her down in a year and a half. She's eating more food than she's ever eaten. And she has all her own home equipment. And I do the programming for her, but she started with just a couple of lighter dumbbells, like an 8 and a 10, and I think a 15, and then like a 20 pound kettlebell. Well, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago was her birthday, and she asked for a pair of 40 pound dumbbells and a bench. That's how much we've progressed over the year and a half. She's gotten herself 25 pound dumbbells, 35 pound dumbbells, a 35 pound kettlebell, a couple other things, you know, just over the year and a half. And she was like, I'm ready to go up. And so she got a pair of 40s and we've been using that. And she's just like, I can't believe how strong I feel. This is crazy, you know? And yeah, she hasn't had to be lifting like crazy amounts of weight, right? It's just been smart programming, because before me, she was just following some YouTube person, which is fine. She was active. That's great. But it was just more cardio based, body weight based. And then like, you know, the 5, 10, 15 pound dumbbells. And I'll tell you what, she's lost 25 pounds of fat, and she was not a large human at all, but she's lost that much total weight, and she's put on muscle. So it's crazy to see this transformation over a year and a half and just her feeling stronger. And she, lo and behold, from eating so much more food and lifting weights, like going up in weights, she doesn't look bulky at all.
Yes.
It's crazy to see this, you know, she hasn't flinched anytime that I've said, okay, we're going to up that food. We're going to up that protein. All right. We're going to lift. Let's ask your husband for a birthday present of like heavier weights, you know, and she's done it and she loves it. And she works out 3 days a week. 3 days is what we keep it at.
That's so good.
These transformations, you know? It's been really cool.
And I love how you share the timeline on that too, because I still have so many ladies that are like, I should be dropping 5 pounds a week. Every week I should have drastic changes in my physique. And the year and a half, right? In 25 pounds in a year and a half, I think it's such a good example of how long it takes to change our body compositions, which can feel like, oh, that's such a downer. But really, it's like, if you think about how long it took you to create the current shape you have that maybe you don't want, it took years, right? Yeah. So you can actually, like, when you get intentional with all this stuff, you can actually change it fairly quickly in comparison. And then I always think about, well, what's the alternative? If you don't do it, then you're just, it's not like you just stay the same, right? If you still have the same habits, you're going to be constantly regressing. So it's almost like you can either take those years of going down the path further of what you don't want, or make these shifts that we've talked about for these improvements, which is awesome to see. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you think would be beneficial to touch on?
Let's see.
A lot.
Just going back to, I know there's a lot of young women in their probably mid to late 20s, in their 30s. And so I think it's important for them to hear this, that, you know, I get a lot of women in their 40s who are asking me, Jen, how are you preparing for menopause? How are you preparing? That's what people will ask me. And I think it starts by preparing yourself earlier in your life, you know, thinking about what you're doing now to your body. What is it? Where are you going to be in 10 to 15 years? Because sometimes we just forget about that. And then suddenly we hit 45 or 47 and we're like, oh my gosh, it's menopause. It's just done. It's completely ruined my life. And there, yes, I'm not going to negate that there are some instances where people just really have miserable experiences, but oftentimes it is because of where they were 10 to 15 years ago. And so the way to prepare to go through perimenopause and menopause, and again, I'm not saying that you are going to, you know, not experience any symptoms or issues, but I want to preface this with saying people have asked me, so here's how I'm preparing. I'm 44. I have certainly started experiences, some changes and some of the differences. So I will not say that I'm an expert or that I can speak to it specifically as someone in my late 40s or 50s who has really gotten into the thick of it. But the way that I've been preparing is not like preparing specifically. I've consciously been eating appropriately to fuel myself. I don't really ever have any times of, you know, periods of time where I'm binging so much that I'm gaining weight in inappropriate amounts. I'm always, no matter what, eating a lot of protein. Like there is never a day that goes by, whether I'm sick, even when I had my appendectomy, like didn't eat from like 7 p.m. the night before till I got out of surgery the next night. Thankfully, my friend brought me a big old teriyaki bowl, and the first thing I ate was my protein and something else with protein in it. So There has not been a day that goes by in 10 years probably where I have not hit a protein goal. Maybe that day. I will say maybe that day, but I probably still got more than 99% of people get just because I shoveled it in. Protein, that is so incredibly big. Like you have to start now, ladies. The other one is, of course, enough calories coming in from appropriate sources. I'm not saying just go out there and eat 2,500 calories from donuts. Get enough calories in, Piper, to support your body in the form of good quality, you know, micronutrients. And then throw in the treats. Okay. So that's the next one, you know. Another one is obviously sleep. If you have control over your sleep in any way, dear God, please control it, because it does not get easier. Believe me, I have heard the horror stories from so many women, and it can start to change. And so start now. Reduce the amount of stress that your body is under from lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. Like just start now. If you can start a nighttime routine, figure out what kind of works for you. It is so incredibly important. That to me is important. I haven't had children, and so that's, you know, a blessing and a curse, but I don't have to worry about that for sleep purposes, right? I've gotten off of shift work, which is great, even though up until 2 years ago, I was working night shifts, mid shifts, you know, day shifts where I had to get up at 5:15 in the morning, you know, but on the other nights, like I was always getting my sleep. And so for years and years and years now, I would say 90% of the time I've gotten 8 to 9, 9.5 hours of sleep. That's how I'm preparing to take myself through this time in my life. Those probably are the big things, right? Sleep, enough quality calories, and protein. What else? I think that was it. Those three are the big ones.
Which is funny because
weight training. Literally. Yep. So those four things, that's how I'm preparing myself to go through perimenopause and menopause. I guess it remains to be seen what happens.
So I think it's funny how one, you said consistently, right? Really emphasize. It's not just in general, it's every single day.
You got to do it every day. Yeah. You got to do it every day.
Yep.
Not lifting weights. I'm sorry. You don't have to like lift weights every day. I've not lifted weights every day.
Yeah.
I apologize for that, but you have to consistently do it every week.
Yes.
Like just because your cat dies. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. You have a cat. But look, I mean, I had to put my dog to sleep like right after the CrossFit games. And the next day I was lifting weights. Like I wasn't like, oh, I can't do anything. Like, or, you know, the people, I don't know. People come up with the craziest excuses to me to be like, oh, I can't lift weights for a month. What? Like, I'm confused about people not understanding, like life has to go on. And if you get 10 years later and you're like, well, I had a tragedy every month for the last 10 years. And now my hormones are creating havoc. No, they're not. You created havoc on yourself.
Yes. So the other thing too is it's funny. These are the same things. It's like all the things to prepare for menopause are the same things to optimize your hormones and your shape and your performance.
Yes. Now. Yes.
So it's the same thing, which is so good. So this has been so incredibly helpful. The way you explain it, the specifics, the like befores and afters you've shared, it's so good. So where can people learn more about you, follow along, work with you, give us all the links and Instagram handle and all of that?
Oh, let's see. Okay. You can follow along with me at Jen_Ryan. You can always shoot me an email if you'd like, Jen@lifelineperformance.com. If you have any questions, but yeah, those are the two best ways to kind of follow along. Hit me up if you got any questions, anything like that.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for your time and for sharing all of your wisdom and for mentoring me for all of these years. So we appreciate you. I cannot wait for everyone to listen to this. Sorry, let me say that again because I just hit some buttons. All right. Thank you for your time and for sharing all of your wisdom and for mentoring me for so many years. Really appreciate it. I'm excited that everyone has this information. And everyone else, we'll see you next week on the Create Your Shape podcast. Hey, if you work out and want to look like you work out, then you need to be in the Create Your Shape program. Learn more and get started at jennythenutritionist.com/create-your-shape. You can also follow me on Instagram for more content at Jenny the Nutritionist.